The recordings have started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the BC Members Call on the 18th of January, 2018. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. At this time, we have participants who are on the audio only, and that is Jensen Olafoy, Editola Seth Beeson, and Margie Milam. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn it over to Claudia Selle. Please begin.
Thank you very much, and welcome everybody. I just wanted to quickly update everyone on the requests that there have been sent out in the past couple of weeks. So please take a look at what we sent out, because it would be good if you can respond to the deadline. So there is the GNSO Council Standing Committee on Budget and Operation. The deadline to submit interest is today. Then the CROP ICANN 61, deadline also today. The two North American business CEOs of senior officials for potential new members of the BC. The deadline is also today. And then there is this request of no objection for funding the fourth officer through the BC, and the deadline is on the 19th of January. Finally, I also sent out the NOMCOM review, whose comments are due by the 2nd of the agenda, with starting with Steve at policy discussion, the council update with Susan and Anne-Marie, and the CSG report with Barbara on operation and finance. Jimson certainly will dig more into what I already anticipated with the crop and budget request. So I will just leave the floor to Steve. Thank you.
Thank you, Claudia. Marilyn Cage, you've got to mute your phone. It is your phone. Please, Marilyn. Marilyn, are you there? Thank you. Okay, thanks, everyone. Andre is going to put up the policy calendar, which was sent yesterday, and I'll go through it quickly. We've been very busy in the last 2 weeks. Marilyn Cage, please mute your phone. Marilyn Cage, please mute your phone. Andrea, can you disconnect Marilyn, please? Thank you. We did four comments on January the 14th regarding Workstream 2 on ICANN accountability. And I want to quickly thank a superb effort by BC members who did drafting. Marilyn Cade, Jimson, Mark, and Tola all helped to draft the comment on diversity. And then Jimson, Marilyn helped along with me on the comment for ICANN's Office of Ombudsman. We did a comment on ICANN staff accountability, and Stephanie Ducheneau did the lion's share of the work on that, where Marilyn and I did some editing. And then there were recommendations on ICANN jurisdiction. This was a tricky one. Claudia, myself, and Murray Petullo put that one together and got that one in as well. So fantastic work there. Then on January the 15th, earlier this week, we did a BC response on Hamilton Law Firm's legal analysis memo, where they had responded to BC comments and questions on GDPR compliance and who is. I want to really thank Margie Milam and Tim Chen for drafting that. And sure enough, just as we were drafting that, ICANN published three new models for GDPR compliance and who is. And we're going to ask the same group of folks to help prepare a BC response on the models. And then finally, on January the 15th, we filed a really substantive comment on one of the review team recommendations. This is the Competition Consumer Trust and Consumer Choice Review Team. That's known as the CCTRT. This is a review that is required under the ICANN bylaws. It's a review of the new GDLD program and to see whether it really did promote and improve consumer trust, choice, and competition. So big thanks to Marie. I worked on it as well. Denise Michelle and Chris Wilson, who went back and forth on the final 3 days on a refinement to certain parts of the recommendation. So we end up with a really substantive comment that's into the CCTRT, and there'll be another bite at that apple as the CCTRT puts out its final comments for review. So great work, everyone, on that. Let me slide down to the part of the policy calendar that refers to the two current open ICANN public comments. Both are due before our next BC call. So one is due February 1, the other is due February 2. That means we aren't going to have another call to discuss those, and I need to encourage BC participants to pay attention to these. Of course, I'll do a last call when there's 3 or 4 days left, but we're going to need to work on this more quickly. The first is proposed changes to how ICANN conducts its meeting strategy for the mid-year policy forum and the annual general meeting. I am very grateful that Marilyn, Claudia, Kristen Bope, Arinola, Michelle, and Mark have stepped up to volunteer, but we're late on getting those volunteers to get a draft comment that I can circulate. This is due February the 1st, and we want to give BC members 14 days of review. That's what our bylaws call for, and we usually come very close to the 14 days. So I will ask Marilyn, Claudia, Christian, Arinola, Michelle, and Mark to please pull together some of your draft talking points, because it's fine if we circulate your draft talking points for BC review so that other members and colleagues can think about it while you're refining the actual text of what the review would say. Let me stop there to see if any of those members would like to say anything about what your preliminary thoughts are on the BC's position regarding these two proposed changes to ICANN's meeting strategy. Anyone? Arinola, Marilyn, Claudia, any thoughts on this? Okay. Look forward to getting something turned around so that you guys can review it. The second and the only other open public comment is on ICANN's staff worked for a long time on a set of operating standards that they want to use for these ICANN community reviews. And these are reviews just like that CCTRT or the Security and Stability Review, the SSR2. And on those reviews, the bylaws are rather explicit about scope. They're explicit about process, the size of the team, and where they come from. And yet, there are specifics about how the team actually conducts its work, how it fills vacancies when people leave and resign. And it's appropriate to have a set of operating standards that are not inside the bylaws but are still subject to community review to make these reviews go better. So we embrace that concept. However, we're not in agreement with all the recommendations they've come up with. I want to thank Faisal Shah, who led the draft for the BC, and then Susan, myself, and Marilyn and Lawrence had a call and have done a back and forth on a few times to get to the current draft. The current draft is attachment 4 on the policy calendar. So I'd like to see whether Faisal, Susan, Marilyn, Lawrence, if anybody wants to comment further on where we stand. We don't have any controversies amongst us drafters for that current draft, but this will be the last chance that BC members can discuss it on the call. Faisal, would you like to say anything about it now?
I think it's 37 pages is pretty comprehensive, and it would be great to have other people really take at it, because there are quite a few areas that that might require at least some additional commentary. I think we've pretty much addressed most of the substantive issues. The first being whether or not we really need a scope drafting team separate from the actual review team itself. I mean, that really is kind of a linchpin of this of these comments, along with how people are nominated, and the team itself and the composition. So it would be great to get additional thoughts from other BC members if they can take a look at it and let us know whether there's anything else that we should be addressing besides what we've already done so far.
Thank you, Faisal. Now, the 37 pages is what the staff had put together. The comment that Faisal and the rest of us have drafted is only 3 pages long, and it's the 4th attachment to the policy calendar. So I'd invite you to open it now and do a quick look at it. What Faisal has brought up is exactly true. We focused most prominently on strongly objecting to staff's proposal that there be a scoping team formed a full year before the actual review team comes together. And I think this was an awful idea. And our comment very strongly argues against that. And then we went in and looked at a few other areas where their comments could be improved so that teams would work better. And this is based on experience that we've had. And I want to be sure that we picked up experiences that Susan, that you've experienced on the teams that you've worked on. Denise Michelle and the work that she's done on SSR2 is another area. We want to be sure to pick up lessons that we should have learned when it comes to those teams. So in particular, I think we've got the right people working on this right now. Are there any other questions from BC members on the current 3-page draft attached to the policy calendar? All right, thanks again, Faisal, and others who've worked on that. Let me move on to the next item, which is the GDPR and who. The only thing I've added to this timeline on GDPR and who is that on January 12th, ICANN posted models for compliance, and I posted a link to those. And we've sent a BC response on the 15th of January for the Hamilton legal analysis memo. I want to thank Margie and Tim for that. What would be appropriate now is to solicit a list of volunteers who can review the models for GDRP compliance and can assist the BC at coming up with a reaction to those models. I'm going to count on Margie and Tim for sure, but who else can help with that effort? Thank you, Tim, by the way. Tim and Margie, for sure. Who else? Alex Deacon, fantastic. So I'll ask you folks to jump on this. It is not a public comment period where ICANN posts a closure date. A lot of this is being done in a really kind of behind-the-scenes way at ICANN. So what's essential, thank you, Ellen, and Mary Ellen Callahan. Okay, fantastic. And Chris is noting that on the ICANN blog, they want comments by January 29th, even though it's not an official public comment period. They want comments back to that email list by January the 29th. So we're already in a situation where we're not going to be able to have 14 days of review on the BC. So let's please work quickly at coming up with our reactions to the models they have so far. And again, if we believe that those models are inappropriate for the use of business users protecting our brands and protecting our customers from fraud and confusion, we're not going to be shy about saying so. But the more specific we are, the better. I also believe that if we raise questions, those questions then will be handled by Hamilton Law Firm, questions about the actual model themselves. And we shouldn't be shy about suggesting alternatives as well. So far we have Alex Deegan, Tim Chen, Margie Milam, and Mary Ellen Callahan. Any other volunteers who can help on that? Thank you, Faisal.
This is Faisal. I can help.
Fantastic. Thank you. All right, so we have our marching orders on GDPR and who is. So before I turn it over to Susan and Marie for counsel, are there any questions that I can field on GDPR who is and the current list of public comment periods? I see two hands up, Margie and then Susan. Go ahead, Margie.
Sure, and hopefully you can hear me okay. I'm on the bus.
We do.
One of the things I wanted to point out was that even though comments are due by January 29th, I think it would be really better for us to consider filing sooner than the 29th. If you take a look at what happened in the last few weeks, there were model submissions on January 10th. There were three submitted, and yet ICANN went ahead and published the three models 2 days later without even evaluating what was submitted by the people that submitted models or the legal analysis. So I think if we want to be effective in any way, we need to get this out sooner than the 29th. And so I just want to see if there's an agreement in having perhaps an earlier date to submit the comments.
Thanks, Margie. I do want to note that part of the reason that the models were simply dumped out there and published was a lot of us, including the BC, have asked ICANN to be as transparent and immediately transparent as possible with what's going on. So it's not a surprise that they would have just dumped those to the list without a lot of analysis there. Susan.
Susan Calvici, for the record. I want to agree with Margie and also sort of push a point a little further is that, it appears, let's put it that way, that you know, I can't ask for community to gather together and work on it, you know, propose solutions and models. And if you look at some of Goran's posts, you know, consult with different members of the community, which I think some of these models did, or all of them did, actually. And but there's just no way that I can synthesize the models proposed by the community and published on, you know, less than 48 hours later. So I think we should comment on that if they're asking for input from the community, we would appreciate some thought about that input. And, you know, it feels to me like, okay, they checked the box. Oh, we got some input from the community, but this is what we think anyway. They'd already drafted their three models. And, you know, in actuality, there's probably only several ways to go at this, but, you know, so it's not rocket science, but I do feel like they're giving lip service to community input, and they have a plan, they have a strategy, and they already have a model. They're just trying to lead the community to that model. So maybe that's my paranoia, but I think we should address that in the comments too.
Susan, let's assume that's the case, because even in Abu Dhabi, they talked about models based on .Amsterdam, on .EU, and I believe that we end up seeing things that they believe are likely to pass muster with European data protection authorities. So we certainly had a very strong hint that they had a base for the model in mind, and they weren't shy about that. So we've got to respond by saying how those models are inappropriate or come up with a better model. But I don't think at this point we have any significant benefit by suggesting that the process they're using is insufficiently transparent. Our best bet on process is to claim that they have completely skipped what the procedures require and what the board approved in who is compliance with national laws. They completely skipped that process. And the BC, thanks to some work by Denise Michelle, sent a very strongly worded letter asking ICANN specifically, why didn't you follow that process, and please follow the process from this point forward. ICANN is ignoring us on that. So we should continue to hammer that point. And Susan, anything else you want to add there?
No, that's it. Thanks.
Great. Denise, anything to add before we move on?
Yes, and I apologize, I'm not on in the Adobe Connect room at the moment, but I think as is evidenced by this conversation and also some of the questions that I previously saw in the chat room, there still seems to be a fair amount of confusion over the timing and the process that's being followed by ICANN. I think it would be to everyone's benefit to get some more clarity. So I would suggest that the BC just send in right away just a couple of process questions to clarify what ICANN is doing and when they're doing it by, not substance, just clarifying the process of what ICANN intends to do here. At the same time, work on substantive comments. I've spoken to many other company reps and other organizations, and there seems to be a lot of confusion over what's happening just in terms of process and timing. So I would suggest that the people who are going to be holding the pen and working on these comments first send an email in today from the BC just to clarify what the timing and process is, and then continue with the substantive comments. Thanks.
Thank you, Denise. Let me, at that point, turn it over to Susan and Marie as our counselors on the BC for channel 2.
Thanks, Steve. And Marie, please chime in anything you would like to report on. It was a pretty light meeting in some ways. We only had one vote, which was creating a committee a GNSO council committee to review the budget and provide comments. We approved that.
other than that, it was a lot of updates and discussion of ongoing issues in the community. And we did have a good discussion on SSR2 team, and the GNSO drafted a letter to the SOs and ACs, and that was sent out this month also. But we still can't. GNSO is trying hard to lead the other SOs and ACs to get the SSR2 back on track, and I am seeing no hope in that. So I'm not sure what the next step is, but the board knew exactly what they were doing, and they knew that it would confusion would reign. So we're stuck with an SSR review team that can't work now for, what, almost 3 months? That's a huge problem. And then the GNSO is also drafting comments on the operating standards for review teams, and so I've helped draft that for the GNSO council. So some of that hopefully will, well, anything I drafted will align with the BC comments. And actually that draft right now takes some of the issues a little farther, which I was surprised at by the other stakeholder groups. And that's about it. We don't have an agenda for the next meeting yet. That'll come out next week. Chris, did you have a question?
Yeah. Hi, Susan. Thanks. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. Just a quick question. On the SSR, the board actions on the SSR team, did the council, I guess, were they aware of the letter from David Rettle and TIA Administrator Rettle, and was there any discussion about that letter within the council?
Yes.
This issue?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, we did. And, you know, the council's view is that we just need to put the SSR team back to work, and that we are in the midst of, we've had one GNSO member from the team that resigned for work, you know, other commitments. And so we are selecting another GNSO nominated candidate for that slot. But, you know, it's very difficult, according to Heather, that to get the other SOs and ACs to move off all of the rumors and innuendo. There was a survey done of the members of the RT, which provided some guidance on maybe they need some extra expertise, but, you know, there wasn't a huge conspiracy going on the SSR, too. So, Marilyn. Is that you, Marilyn, or is that somebody else coughing?
Sorry, my comment was not about this, so I'll just thank you for this report. I had a different comment, and I'm sorry I'm choking, so I'll just come back at a later time.
Okay, thanks, Marilyn. All right, I think that's it for the GNSO.
Thank you, Susan. Barbara, do you want to give your update?
Sure, Claudia, thanks very much. I'll go quickly through the intersessional meeting and then give you some highlights on what we can expect at ICANN 61. With respect to the intersessional, which will be on the 1st and 2nd of February in LA, I have basically four or five points here. Steve included the agenda as one of the attachments, so you all are at liberty to review that. And you'll see that the BC is co-leading three sessions on important topics, the first one being reconciling GDPR, who is, and Steve will be our co-chair, our co-lead on that on behalf of the CSG. He will be joined by Stephanie Perrin from the NCSG. And Steve, if you want to jump in now concerning what you hope to accomplish or what your plans are for that session.
Hey, thanks, Barbara. As the agenda shows, there's actually 2.5 hours spaced over two contiguous sessions on the second day of the intersessional regarding GDPR and who is compliance. So the co-chairs would be Stephanie Perrin and I for the first 90 minutes, and then Vicky Scheckler from the IPC, along with Tatiana Tropina from the NCSG. So the four of us, I arranged a conference call. We're having a four-way call tomorrow so that we can coordinate and have a really, I think, a cohesive agenda that walks through the compliance challenges that we'll face. But at this intersessional, think about it. There's no contract parties at the meeting, but you realize that the NCSG has publicly said that they believe GDPR is a great opportunity to kill WHOIS once and for all. And that's the attitude they're going to be coming from. And I don't think it's going to serve the interests of all of us at the intersessional to simply have a shouting match about that. So the challenge, you know, Barbara indicated, the challenge is to try to discover a common ground, understand where we disagree, and to be creative at ways of navigating through this. Now, I do think that the GAC will be a whipping boy for the NCSG when they look at the Abu Dhabi GAC advice, since it insisted that ICANN find a way to maintain business access to WHOIS records. And that flies in the face of the fact that a lot of the governments and the GAC members are from the European Union, and it's the European Union's data protection authorities that are actually causing this rift or problem. So we are grateful for ideas as to how to organize the slots that are on Friday morning. And as I said before, the first call will be tomorrow. As we emerge from that call and come up with slides and an agenda for those two sessions, I will circulate them to the whole BC for quick reaction. Thanks, Barbara. Back to you.
Thanks, Steve. The second topic that we'll be covering, as you can see on the agenda, is ICANN transparency, and it's my pleasure to co-lead that session with Michael Karanikolas, who was one of the co-rapporteurs with Chris Wilson for the transparency subgroup. And basically what we will be doing is reviewing key elements of the transparency subgroup's report, in particular, Recommendation 15, which called for greater transparency with respect to ICANN legal. And ICANN Legal's pushback on that and refusal to endorse that recommendation. We will encourage discussion about this among the various constituencies, and I know Steve is prepared to intervene on the importance of challenging ICANN Legal on that pushback because of the fact that Workstream 2 and the work coming out of that is the community's last and best chance to improve ICANN's accountability. So I hope that'll be a lively and spirited discussion, and we are very hopeful to get John Jeffrey to speak because he has the gravitas, if you will, to make important substantive comments on that. If not, if Samantha Eisner represents ICANN Legal on it, then it will demonstrate to ICANN Legal that the concerns about about ICANN Legal's pushback on that recommendation is not limited to the non-commercial stakeholders group, that the BC shares many of those concerns. If there is enough time, we'll devote maybe 15 or 20 minutes really to educate the broader non-contracted party house on these various data transparency initiatives, not only the ODI, but the Information Transparency Initiative. You may recall that's a very comprehensive project aimed at sort of archiving all of ICANN's comments, materials, and so forth. And we are concerned that maybe not enough people within the non-contracted party house understand these what's going on here. So there won't be any policy recommendations coming out of that element of the transparency discussion, but I think it's important to educate and generate comments from the house on that topic. Then finally, Jimson will focus on further Workstream 2 recommendations with Rafiq Damak. Jimson, I don't know if you've had a chance to talk with Rafiq yet about what you want to focus on. If not, you know, no problem, but I just thought I'd turn it over to you if you care to offer any comments.
Yes, thank you very much, Barbara. This is Jimson. I got the invite yesterday for us to begin the discussion. So we will commence the discussion any moment from now with Rafiq, and I can start.
Great. Okay. Second very, very important point that was raised in previous BC discussions and through email streams and so forth is that I just want to clarify that this intersessional will be open to the entire the entire non-contracted party house community via the Adobe chat. I have a link to that chat. It's on the NCPA's intersessional wiki space. I'm happy to send that link to the entire BC private listserv if that would be helpful. Happy to do that. There will be, I also reconfirmed with ICANN staff that they will have transcripts of all the sessions too. So there you go. The third point I'd like to make is we will have a 90-minute session with Joran as well as a one-hour lunch with the board. The board meeting probably will not be terribly substantive, if I can say that, because it will be a one-hour meeting over lunch out on a patio, which is not really conducive to an organized discussion. So the thought was that we'll engage with the specific board members that are at our respective tables and then take those subjects and the nature of that engagement back with us to ICANN 61 and use it maybe as a jumping-off point for our CSG meeting with the board at ICANN 61, which I'll talk about in a minute. With respect to our 90 minutes with Joran, I think that will really be based on all of the issues that have arisen, because this 90-minute with him will be on sort of toward the end of our second day, sort of the issues that have been arisen and have been discussed earlier in the intersessional. So I think that's probably how we'll focus our time with Joran, rather than zeroing it into a specific agenda. Fourth point I'd like to raise is that there was a desire expressed for takeaways from this intersessional, some items that staff would have to follow up on and some items that the session co-leads and the community will follow up on. If possible, we will endeavor to develop a joint statement. I understand that that was issued at the Washington meeting. It's not required, but there was considerable support expressed for some sign of joint statement that demonstrated efforts by both sides of the House to build a bridge and emphasize our areas of common interest and concern. Finally, the BC requested a whiteboarding session with Teresa Swinehart and her MSSI team. So that will be an important opportunity for us to weigh in on strategy issues. So I'm happy to take any questions now about the intersessional. If not, I'll proceed to giving you some highlights on ICANN 61.
Barbara, hey, it's Steve. One clarification. The whiteboard sessions were not something we requested. It was ICANN who offered them, either joint or with individual SOs, NAC, and constituencies. And when they made that offer, the BC said, yes, we'd be glad to do it. And we don't have much idea about who will be involved from ICANN other than Teresa, but the idea is that we would look ahead to the rest of 2018 and what kind of issues and priorities ICANN management, ICANN org should focus on. That's my guess, but we didn't request it out of the blue. It was something they offered, and we said, sure, we'll do it.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for that clarification. Okay, moving on to ICANN 61. It's kind of a good news, bad news situation. I'll start with the good news. I would say the schedule for the BC and for the CSG is, you know, virtually identical to what we had at ICANN 60. We'll have a Saturday meeting with Becky, Matthew, with our GNSO board members, Becky and Matthew. That will be from 8:30 to 9:30. Let me just say before I get into the nitty-gritty of the schedule that Andrea, and she is the patience of a saint, and I and Wolf Ulrich on behalf of the CSG went round and round and round trying to break this up so we wouldn't have this marathon of meetings on Constituency Day, which is Tuesday the 13th, and that proved to be impossible just because of all of the meetings that were scheduled at conflicting times that our members are all involved in, you know, GNSO meetings, cross-community sessions, opening ceremonies, the public forum, you know, you name it, and there was a conflicting meeting held at that time. But I just wanted everybody to know that we really gave it our best, gave it our best effort to try and space these meetings out, and we just couldn't make it happen. The good news is, unlike for ICANN 60, which nearly drove Andrew and I crazy, the bulk of the planning regarding the CSG meetings will not fall on our shoulders this time. So we can kind of skate through those meetings and not have to worry about leading them or whatever. But just to let you know, we do have a CSG meeting with the board, and we have to focus. We have to consider, or I would urge us to consider, how we want to focus the BEC's 30 minutes in our meeting with the board. I would welcome your comments on that on the listserv. The CSG has requested a meeting with Yoren. We will need topics, as was the case back for ICANN 60, as to how we want to focus the CSG's meeting with Yoren. Do we want to, you know, talk about, Wolf Ulrich suggested further discussion about staff-driven inputs to community reviews and I don't know how we want to take forward the SSR2 example, but that came to mind. I don't know how we want to, you know, proceed more on GDPR with Yoren, but, you know, we can certainly offer those as topics for our CSG discussion with him. I am very interested in what the BC and who the BC wants to talk about in both our open and closed meetings. In the BC XCOM circulated some topics for us to consider and some people for us to consider meeting with. I'll just read them briefly here. And if you want, I will recirculate this to the BC private list, and I would welcome your feedbacks, because that in turn will help Claudia and I determine our agenda for both the BC open and closed meetings. One example I had was engagement with ICANN GDD about BC priorities. This again would be with Cyrus and Akram. ICANN Legal or Teresa Swinehart regarding GDPR who is. A joint meeting of SSR2 with Denise and Heather Forrest to update on how that is coming. At least 1 hour. Okay, forget that. I'm sorry. A budget briefing by Javier or his senior staff. A breakfast meeting. This goes back to an earlier suggestion that Marilyn had made. A breakfast meeting with the new board members: Avery, Sarah Deutsch, Matthew. And then finally, Jimson has proposed that we continue to talk with the designated ICANN staff on and how the ODI is proceeding, David Conrad or Jeremy. So I can recirculate these to the list. As I said, your input is very important and will help us design agendas for both the open and closed meetings of the BC so that the meeting is worthwhile for you. I think that's all I'd like to say, and happy to take any questions.
I see Marilyn with the hands up.
Thank you, Claudia and Barbara. Thank you for that really wonderful update. I just want to make a couple of comments. Steve, thank you for posting the list of cross-community topics, but I frankly am not sure those topics actually are the most advantageous to the this constituency for cross-community events. I also just want to comment that the CCWG auction proceeds has a request for a public kind of a town hall, and I would urge that we support that. And also the CCWG IG has asked for an event, a public event to address the improvements, changes, challenges, whatever, what the CCWG IG on internet governance would look like in the future. I don't see any of those in this list for cross-community topic proposals. The one that is most of concern to me is the idea that I see your posting, Steve, that these are vital interests to the BC, but let me please speak. I think we need to have a public event on the a public discussion on the CCWG auction proceeds at this meeting. There's a few of us, Tola, myself, Wido, Lawrence is an observer, but there's a lot of progress on the on this, and I think it's important to have some kind of a public discussion on that topic in particular. Thanks. And I'm just going to make a final comment. Sorry, Steve, I'm just going to make a final comment. Cross-community topics have to be not just about us, but about everyone else. And I'm just going to ask that we, you know, really, I don't think why we would support a walk in the shoes of a new GTLD registry operator. We are the BC users. We're not the contracted parties. So I'm just going to ask us to think again about, you know, what our priorities are, and also to understand that we have a couple of CCWG working groups that we need to provide comments on in one way or another, whatever that is.
This is Steve. I'm going to ask Andrea to try to address some of the questions in the chat. Those are seven topics, and they were submitted through an open process, and the BC solicited interest in topics, and we did submit a who is compliance, who is question. I believe number seven is ours. Andrea, how many will they select for ICANN 61, and what will be the process of getting AC and SO leaders together to come up with a consensus of which ones to select? Okay, Andrea has clarified, for those of you not seeing the chat, is that four will be chosen. And Andrea, you said those have just been announced. So which four have they selected, Andrea? Claudia?
Yes.
Claudia may be having audio difficulties. So I believe the next item on the agenda was items that Jimson would cover.
Yes, sorry, Steve, I was muted.
Go ahead, Claudia.
Yeah, well, the next item is for Jim. So I also think that some of the topics that were addressed, I think they are of interest to the BC. So, Jimson, do you want to give your update?
Yeah, sure. This is Jimson, and greetings, everyone. I would like to begin by providing a clear explanation with respect to CROP and the COP, because I gather perhaps members need more information on that. CROP is the Community Regional Outreach Program. It's basically an outreach program for which we made requests to ICANN to support our outreach efforts. And the COP, that is the Community Onboarding Program, is basically ICANN initiative program with the mentor and the mentee. And you can recall that mainly the serving as the mentor for this program, while analyze the mentor. So CROP is for outreach, and outreach could be within the region or could be outside of the region. So, like Claudia, thank you, call, sent out an expression of interest for members to express their interest in using crop for outreach at Icon 61. They also use crop for in-region outreach, maybe within Europe or within Africa or within Asia. So we have two crop slots left. It could be four in-region crop slots and one out-of-region crop slot. So we just have two in-region crop slots pending right now. So let us take advantage of this. And I believe the outreach committee, they're working on an outreach in San Juan, and that would be a perfect opportunity to use some of these resources. Invite has also gone out for nomination of credible CEO or board members of companies or associations the potential of doing this in the North American region. This is a budget request that DC initiated and sent to ICANN for support and funding. So there is funding earmarked for two CEOs or maybe a board member of companies or associations for each ICANN meeting. Like as was explained by Claudia, in North America, we have two slots for anyone qualified, and also for 62, we also have two slots. So we need to express our interest or place nomination so that we can work on this well in advance. And this also to remind members about the request we made, because from no objection, if you do not hear any objection by the deadline, we'll go ahead with the out of budget expenditure to ensure that the fourth officer of the DC participates in the next two ICANN meetings. As Claudia mentioned in our letter to members, the Finance Committee and Executive Committee fully followed the process and approved that exception in line with the charter. I don't know if Andrew Martin is on the call, but I believe the next call will be able to provide more information about the outreach for San Juan. And towards the San Juan meeting, ICANN 61, it was announced before that we'll be publishing a newsletter as usual. So if you have any article, relevant article, to illuminate perspective from DC point of view, please send the article to Andrea. So we have till end of this month to submit any article that will be published. Also to let us know that this time around, our edition of newsletter will be translated to Spanish. So if you can come in within that deadline, January 34th, then it will be good enough for us to translate to Spanish and for publication. Every year, we do make budget requests to support our activities. Like the team of newsletter comes in both two budget requests, both for three existing officers we come to in the budget request. Even though the fourth one follows requested that the support be extended to the fourth officer has not been successful. So, but for the three, we make a budget request. Also budget requests for leadership, development, et cetera, et cetera. So the round is on now. We have till end of this month to filing our FY19 budget request. So I'm saying this so that the Action Committee will be fully aware so that if there's anything planned or they're proposing for FY19, maybe some special outreach or summit or what have you, this is the right time to tidy up the proposal if you need I can support and what have you. So we have till end of this month to tidy that up. So, Action Committee member, please statement. Okay, I think right now I'm through, and I want to use the opportunity to welcome all new countries, especially like Ghana from Cote d'Ivoire, coming to the meeting for the first time. So we hope you continuously engage and be part of what we do here. So this is where I will wrap up, and I can see Mary Lee as hand up. So Mary Lee, over to you, Mary Lee.
Thank you, Jensen. It's Marilyn Cage. I just wanted to comment about, I made a proposal that may not have been broadly circulated about the idea of a business summit at the AGM in 2018. And I know that will require a draft proposal. And I wanted to volunteer to work with others to create that. The NCUC and the at-large have both had summits that cost ICANN about $100,000. I don't think we can ask for that amount of funding with the budget cuts, but we should be able perhaps to ask for, you know, $50,000 to have a business summit. There will be senior GAC attendees. I've talked to a few of the business associations from Brussels area, the European area, and also to our members, Michelle and Chris, about the idea. So I just wanted to propose, if anyone's interested, that we could collaborate on making a proposal for a business summit the day before the ICANN Barcelona meeting and use only part of the BC funding but ask for significant ICANN funding, and just wanted to propose that as something that I would look forward to working with others on. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Marilyn. So, please don't forget, Terry said before, is the deadline for us to send in proposals. If you can come out earlier so that members can also provide it, that would be great. It's really welcome. Thank you. Claudia, back to you.
Thank you, Jimson. Is there anyone that has other points to raise? I don't see any hands up. So the next meeting will be on Thursday, the 8th of February. We moved the call due to the interprofessional, and we'll speak then and stay in touch by mail. Thank you very much, everyone, for participating. You can close the recording.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has adjourned. Operator, you can stop all recordings. To everyone else, please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.